Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming the Sports Hub app.
Well, if you're Murray, do you try to score here?
I guarantee he will.
No.
Nope. Murray offensive end, now he'll pull away. He was trying to score in that last possession, but he won't here. He will. He'll launch the three. It is no good. And that will be remembered by the Celtics.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray going for the free three in the 50-point game, and the Celtics are barking at it, and he's barking back. And now we got some issues here after the game.
Oh, Kyrie is saying right now. What?
Kyrie has some words for young Jamal Murray. There are ways to act and there are ways not to. Kyrie launches the basketball into the crowd. I don't know if that's a souvenir, but it's going to cost Kyrie some money as he is escorted off the floor. The final score, Denver 115, Boston 107.
Couple more angles on this as we start the noontime hour on Zolak and Bertrand. Celtics lose last night against the Nuggets. Jamal Murray jacks a three at the end of the game after making it look like he was going to dribble it out.
He was dribbling it out. That guy Plumlee, well, and a white dude goes
well,
over
he
him.
He didn't because
give
he took
me the
a
ball.
Shot.
Give me the ball. Like, I was going to take it like, hey, he's telling him good game. And he, like, pushes Plumlee out of the way and fades away and takes another one.
Yeah. He was. That's what I said. He made it look as if he were dribbling it out.
Yeah.
But obviously he did it because he took a three.
Oh.
He had 48 points. He tried to get to 50. That pissed off Kyrie Irving. He did not like that.
I'm more pissed off now after I just saw that angle.
You just heard the call last night, Granny and Max. And Granny guaranteed he was going to take the shot. He goes, I guarantee it. Max, on the other hand, former player, was like, no.
Gets
no.
Rules.
No.
Cardinal
no.
Rule.
And then what did he do? He took it. And you know what? I don't think there's a player in the league that wouldn't have taken a shot there. Maybe not the way that Jamal Murray did it. Maybe a guy would have just come down and taken a shot. You know, with it being obvious that he was about to take a shot and someone could at least try and put a hand in his face.
Oh, so, I guarantee he will.
He guarantees. No. I just like how Granny's like, I guarantee he takes it and then gets right into the, no, there are ways to do things and ways not to do things. And they'll remember that. They're going to play one more time. Western Conference team. They're not going to see each other again. One more time, they're not going to have a playoff matchup. So, I don't know what that's worth. Here's something else, though.
This is like Yankees, Red Sox, you play 19 times.
If you saw it last night, or if you're watching us on NBC Sports Boston, you see who was sort of chirping there after the fact to Jamal Murray? Not chirping, like
Jaylen Brown.
No, from his own team. Sort of enjoying it, you know, piping up from the background.
Oh, it's Isaiah.
Yeah, did you see
it? Yeah.
Oh, he loved it.
He's patting on the back.
He loved it.
Good job.
He
in his face.
It was great. I thought that was...
Dressed in a suit.
Yeah. Why don't you get out on the floor?
Yeah. You still hurt?
So I thought that was an interesting thing to do. Here's one more for you. Jaylen Murray was taken the same year that Jaylen Brown was taken. Jaylen Brown was taken third overall.
Mm-hmm.
Murray was taken seventh overall. If you redraft the draft, which guy do you want?
I mean, revisionist history now.
No, of course it is. Trust me, our opinion is not going to allow the teams to redraft.
You know what? For what it is here?
Well, it is revisionist history, but this name did come up that year.
Yes,
when they were
did.
Drafting. His name
yes,
came
it
up, did.
You know
up
who
a
was
lot.
A, you know who's a big Murray guy?
Murray.
No, Adam Jones was a big Murray guy.
He likes the Kentucky guys, though.
Yeah, he likes the Kentucky guys. Cal. Likes a Cal guy.
You know what? For what you have and ultimately the makeup of your team and what your team's chemistry is going to be, I think Jaylen Brown's better for what they have here. That guy's a guy who could demand the ball a little bit more. I know Jaylen Brown would tell you he'd want the ball more, but I think he would defer to what you have around him. You got Irving. You got Hayward. You got Jason Tatum and what he's turned into. I'm not even going to put Al Horford in there because I don't think you'd defer to Al Horford because I think Al would be content to post up or just not go get a rebound.
Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? Where you look at that team and, you know, the youth they have and, you know, feels like it's his team. He could be taking it over. Jaylen Brown, not near that yet. I think Jaylen Brown fits better here, if that makes sense.
I feel like Jamal Murray is a better regular season player, and we've seen Jaylen Brown play in the postseason.
We've seen Jaylen Brown turn
on.
We
know that Jamal Murray can't be that in the playoffs.
We don't.
We don't, but we've seen that the other one can. He can elevate.
Take out like the fit and the team's drafting or whatever biases or whatever they – just do this. If you threw them all in a pool and you redrafted in the league – right, and it had nothing to do with the Nuggets or the Celtics. Who would go first in the draft? Who would get picked first?
Oh, he would.
Jamal Murray would get picked first. Yeah, I think that's a fair second guess when you look at that draft. And it's just it happens every year with every team. The draft order, if you were to redraft each draft, it might be completely out of order from what it actually was when the guys were drafted. Yes, it's hindsight, yes. But I think you look at that, you look at last night, who would you rather have? Jamal Murray dropped 48. Right in your face, Celtics. Why don't you play some defense? Giving up 115 points, that's not what I'd want you to be doing.
I was going to say.
Joe and Revere's got some Celtics thoughts for us today. Joe.
Hi, guys.
Joe.
How you doing? Hi, Joe. How are you?
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Great call. Great call on that UMass game. I watched that UMass game that you called. Great call.
Oh, my God.
Celtics, let them play some defense, just like you said. They've got checking up threes like no tomorrow. Play some defense, and then you don't have to worry about the guy scoring 50.
Oh, God.
And
Joe, I'm with you.
Yep.
Play some damn defense. Stop chucking up all these bad threes. There is some sort of weird malaise or lack of focus with the Celtics right now that it's not really fun.
Lack of focus, or is this the new analytics of basketball to what a lot of people are talking about now, that this is the new style and this is how you're going to play? That's all.
What's so funny?
I'm not talking about it.
Why?
Not doing it.
The UMass game on Saturday?
Well, I did score in the time you get home, friend.
It's a thriller, so.
Oh, my God. Our listeners. Again. Add that guy to the table.
62,
when we had this discussion.
62-59, man.
Joe from Revere. He's going to give the blessing.
Three overtimes. I was tired by the end.
Did you take the back way up, or did you go with the half?
I got off at exit 8. Yeah.
It's an easy way. Sometimes you take Route 2 all the way. It's a nice scenic drive.
No. No thanks. I don't need to do that.
Did you go to Hangar?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, love it. Love their burgers here.
Yep. Went uptown after. Got a few beers.
Stop.
Yep.
Please.
What?
Nothing.
You didn't listen to the game?
How does this happen?
You didn't watch?
How does that happen?
You didn't watch?
You listened to us every single freaking day. How does that happen?
I don't know, man. Tom is in Worcester. He's been hanging on. What's up, Tom?
Hi, guys. Hey, first of all, sorry about yesterday. I was standing about 20 yards away from a wood chipper when you answered my call.
Oh, is that what it was? It was loud.
You hung up on me right away.
Were you putting bodies in there?
They were cutting up a big tree, and I had to block the road and all that kind of stuff. But
nice.
Hey, I got a question for you. We're talking about in the last segment about the game last Sunday. So and I have one other question, so don't hang up. It's important I ask you and Zoe this. The defense, is the defense getting better, or was Green Bay just terrible? And my other question, real quick, I got to sing a karaoke contest on Thursday.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know, what should I pick? And because I know you guys are both karaoke kings. Hardy, too, you're in on this. So give me your opinion. I'll hang up. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay. I would go with Come On, Eileen. What would you pick? Thanks. Texas Midnight Runners.
Yeah, I know.
It's a go-to.
Yeah, uh-huh.
At this moment,
I know the song.
You mean everything.
Great one-hit wonder.
Doesn't the crowd tell you all you need to know? It's like, where is this taking place? What's the crowd like?
Is Sarge the DJ? Is it Sarge's karaoke machine?
But you're going to do different songs in different venues for different audiences. I need so much more
information. What are some of the... He's given us some medleys. Like Tom sent us like a Yacht Rock medley once.
Yep. He's got a deep voice when he sings. He's got the delivery.
Yeah, I feel like
so
I want to hear it again.
Play something to it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. What if you want to go old school? Like, you want to do some Glenn Campbell?
Oh, Rhinestone Cowboy? You could do that.
Something along those lines.
Nothing but the Beatles. Beatles really don't, like, resonate with karaoke. Tom from Worcester. We might have to put him at the table.
He would not belong in that group.
I'd need a mayor for security. So none of those people would follow me home. This has been our weirdest segment ever. This really has. But I want to go back to his question. Is the Patriots defense getting that good, or is Green Bay's offense just that bad? You really think Green Bay's offense is bad?
No, I don't think that.
That's a damn good offense. That is the best the Patriots defense played all year.
Yeah,
you gotta give them, you can't discredit for what they did by saying Green Bay has a bad offense. We talked about this game for a week, The game did a 38 average. A 60 share.
The rating.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, Cobb, all of them. And Devontae Adams, Jimmy Graham.
No. It was poor Tom Brady early in the season. Now it's poor Aaron Rodgers. Poor Aaron Rodgers.
Poor Aaron Rodgers. You realize Tom Brady was handing the ball to a trick shot artist. Number 84 was in the backfield with his hair sticking out of the helmet.
Listen, he's eligible at ESPN Fantasy now at running back.
Yeah.
CPTD. CPTD.
617-779-0985. We'll continue on the Celtics. I thought Kyrie post-game last night was great. One of my favorite Kyrie answers ever, even though I sort of disagree with him, that the play was BS. And also, on top of Kyrie, more from Marcus Smart's rap song about having $52 million, which I admittedly had no idea about until we came in today.
Well, we found it.
We've got it.
We have it.
You'll hear that coming up next as well after the action update.
So in Beetle at Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
What kind of competitor wouldn't bother? You know what I'm saying? So, like, I understand if we fouled, we're going to a free throw. I don't want to make a deal. Obviously, I was pissed off at the game, but it's time to decompress and move on. Congratulations to them after 48 points. But the ball deserves to go in the crowd after a bullshit move like that. So, do it in the crowd.
Zolak and Bertrand from Gillette Stadium today. Kyrie, after the game last night, one of his good Kyrie answers, when you feel like you're just getting it straight from him, it's not some sort of planned type of thing or overthought out what he's going to say. That's just Kyrie in the heat of the moment right there after the game. Mm-hmm. Felt genuine for once.
Good.
So
love the emotion.
I liked it. I liked the emotion. I liked the anger. I wish they had shown more anger on the court. I wish they had during the game.
Probably going to start seeing it now.
I wish they got angry that they were losing in that game. I wish they got angry that they gave up 115 points and not just this silly thing at the end of the night. That's what I wish was going on. But I liked his answer. I liked his quote. He didn't like the play. He called it BS. All right. We need more of that. We need more of that in sports. So that's what happened with him last night. And seems to be some disagreement over what Isaiah Thomas was actually saying, by the way. Ben at NBC Sports Boston thinks that Isaiah actually said to him, to Jamal, that don't do that. He was smiling as he said. It looked like he was laughing. Like he thought it was funny that the
No, it looked like he was enjoying the moment. Absolutely. And if NBC Sports Boston could run that clip again, that'd be great.
You can see it. Jamal Murray comes over after the buzzer sounds, and you've got him in the background in his suit, Isaiah Thomas. Looks like he thought the whole thing was pretty comical, how pissed off the Celtics.
Because Jaylen Brown even was like, looked at him too. He looked right, and then he looked back left. He goes, like, did you just shoot that? You know? It looked like Isaiah Thomas was enjoying the moment.
Maybe he did.
Yeah.
We're watching it again now. Did he say don't do that? Let's see. He might have said don't do that.
He's kind of shaking his head no. Like,
but he's laughing.
He's smiling. He goes,
it's funny.
He goes, I know what you did. And he like pushed him away. He's like, yeah.
Yeah, he may have said don't do that.
You probably don't want to do that.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
You know what? There wasn't like over-the-top adulation for him by the rest of the team. Like, they could have been game five and they're like, okay. Nice game, but you on your own, man.
Yeah, we've got that. We also got Marcus Smart and his rap song. Is Hardy back yet or no?
I want to thank whoever brought this to our attention. The 52 mil. Is that the name of the song?
I don't know what the name of the song is. Where did Hardy go? All right. Well, we'll play that as soon as Hardy's back to his seat. I guess this rap song came out 2 days ago, so it's new. It's not like we've missed on it for a long period of time.
Is this one where, like, okay, you get on a team bus and, like, all of a sudden, one of the teammates has it, and they press play.
Yeah, I'm here.
And everybody starts laughing at you.
I'm here.
Did you clean it up?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we can listen?
Yeah. Now,
how dirty was it? How far in the side of parental advisory was it?
Hell, dirty? I don't know. How audible is it?
I don't know how to say this without
spooking the horses, but it's distasteful in a few places. That's all.
Oh, good.
Intern Brian told me that the first guy we hear in this is not Marcus Smart. Who is this? I am Compton. Is that his name? Where's the intern? All right, he says yes. So this is the part we heard earlier. This
now,
is
hold on.
What?
I am Compton. Is he some rapper?
I don't know.
Yeah. What else would it be?
Well, I don't know.
Well, the rap is called 52M, assisted by Trey Davis and rapper I Am Compton.
Okay.
Okay.
Is he from Compton? Like out west?
Yeah. Yes. Go. Definitely.
Okay. Got 52 M's.
Hold on.
Okay, so this is I Am Compton so far.
There ain't no way you could have, there's not any way you could have 52-inch rims.
I didn't
even
know that's
what
he said.
Most you could really have is like 22.
He said 52 M's.
24 on my
52
feet.
52 M's.
Like, I'm down with 24 on my feet. That means I got 24 inches.
Okay, let's listen again.
About basketball rims?
Just that part.
He said I'm in the gym, right?
What gym?
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah. 52 states. 52 dates.
Oh, hold on.
52 states.
52 states.
That's I got new. That.
Well, do you count Puerto Rico and Guam?
No, Puerto Rico. It is. Puerto Rico's a territory.
Okay, so
American
no.
Samoa.
How many states do we have?
Well, are we counting commonwealths as states? I mean, there are 50. If you really want to, it's a
Guam.
Factually
I think he was talking
inaccurate.
About Guam.
Guam and Puerto Rico, he's including.
Yeah.
52 states, 52 dates, 52 plays, and 52 days. 52 Ray. I am an eight. I love the bait. She called me Trey. Gang called me Tote. How about the
so this
road?
Is gotta be Trey Davis.
So he hit his toe.
I'm up in Boston and I'm on that Hennessy. Ain't looking for Kiki, I'm looking for Tiffany. Probably where all the bottles in the dripping be. She calling out tomorrow, I wanna kick it with me. I want my bro, we on the boat, she in the road, one on the floor.
I mean, this is so much
okay,
like designer
so
Panda. It's
boat.
Unbelievable.
Trey Davis played at UMass, by the way.
My boy on a row, and she on the flow.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a boat, a row, and a flow.
Right. Now, do you want to get to Marcus Smart's part?
I'd love to.
The video
is what I'm really in this.
Is he the one that sounds like Wiggy?
The video is really good. I mean, it's a well done video.
52 states, 52 dates.
But you know, for everybody who's wondering, will the $52 million contract change Marcus Smart? How he thinks about things? Is it just money? He's still here to play basketball.
Before you even said that, I can't.
In
believe
his
I
mind, there's
that.
52 states now. As
well,
a result of
well,
this contract.
For one of his collaborators, but for Marcus Smart, what does he say about it? Is he nonchalant about it or
52 like, mil? That's a new deal. 13 a year. Look how I live. Penthouse suite. That's a new feel. Bought the top floor because I need the room.
Okay, penthouse suite, and he bought the top floor because I need the room. So
you think he lives at those Ritz Carlton residences downtown?
I mean, right on the, he's not getting all $52 million at once. So if he's just doing it, you know, with a
sure
standard mortgage and a healthy down payment,
I'm sure
maybe
he's got his 401k.
Maybe you get like the top fixed? Floor at like at the Hampton Inn, you know.
Well, you get free breakfast.
Think
there.
He's got an adjustable rate? What do you think he went with there? What kind of product do you think he went with on the mortgage?
Interest only. Adjustable rate, 5-year arm, something like that.
Walking closet for my Gucci and lose red bottle.
Some of that stuff in front of that gym.
What?
The cocaine?
No, there's no cocaine.
I'm holding the video up. He's got the video.
No, I want to hear a song.
He's got closets for his Gucci and Lou. That'd be Louis Vuitton, I'm sure.
Walking closet for my Gucci and Lou's. Red bottoms, but I'm rocking that blue. Ice on my neck and it's keeping me cool.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
Ice on my neck and it's keeping me cool.
Well, that's the diamond. What's the red
he
bottom?
Dives on the court and hurts his neck and has to ice it down.
No, the red bottom. I want to know what this means.
Blues, red bottoms, but I'm rocking that blue.
Red bottoms, but I'm rocking that blue.
Well, he's dressed like a flag. He's got blue on, white socks, red shoes.
Patriot.
Ice on my neck and it's keeping me cool. 52 mil, that's a new deal. 13 a year, look how I live. Penthouse suite, that's a new feel. Bought the top floor because I need the room. Walking closet for my Gucci and Louis. Red bottoms, but I'm rocking it blue. Ice on my neck and it's keeping me cool.
Okay, I'm going to say
all that. Did you just play the same thing again?
No, it's, I mean,
I'm going to say, yep. I'm going to say that he sounds like he's reading the lyrics because he is very rigid when he is reading.
Very rigid.
There's no gangster flow to it. Like, hey, man, just throw this down on the track.
Well, maybe
you put Eminem in a studio. Eminem not selling.
Maybe the tempo is off. Would you like the tempo
what
increase?
If we sped it up.
Okay.
52 mil, that's a new deal. 13 a year, look how I live. Penthouse suite, yeah, that's a new feel. Off the top floor because I need the room. Walking closet for my Gucci and Louis. Red bottoms when I'm rocking that blue. Ice on my neck and it's keeping me cool. 52 mil, that's a new deal. 13 a year, look how I live. Penthouse suite, yeah, that's a new feel. Off the top floor because I need the room.
Nah, it doesn't fix it.
Boom, boom. Well, if you could just turn the lyrics
it's
off.
It's like Jungle, I can understand it better, though.
Yes.
Walking closet for my Gucci and Louis. Red bottoms when I'm rocking that blue. Ice on my neck and it's keeping me cool.
Huh. Interesting.
But the first guy, how much does that sound like Panda?
I would, if I'm Panda, I would, they might be getting some
or points. Designer, I should say.
Yeah. 52 states, 52 dates, 52 plays in 52 days, 52 Ray. I am an eight. I love the bait. She call me Trey. Gang call me Tote. How about the roll? Whip up a bowl.
Nice she calls you Trey. That is
I'm
your name.
Boston,
Trey.
I'm on that Hennessy. Ain't looking for Kiki. I'm looking for Tiffany. Probably where all the bottles in the dripping be. She calling out tomorrow. I want to kick it with me. I want my bro. Yeah. We on the boat. Yeah. She in the road. Yeah. One on the floor.
Okay. I got, I stand corrected. So I'm on a boat with my bro. He on a row, but she on the flow? She's on the row, but one on the flow. What's on the flow?
I don't know.
What's on the floor?
I don't know.
Something's on the floor. Hardy, go back. Something's on the floor. He's on the boat.
There's definitely something on the flow. We're trying to figure out what's on the flow here in this Marcus Smart song, 52 mil. Here we go.
I'm up in Boston and I'm on that Hennessy. Ain't looking for Kiki, I'm looking for Tiffany. Probably where all the bottles in the dripping be. She calling out tomorrow, I want to kick it with me. I want my bro, yeah. We on the boat, yeah. She in the road, yeah. One on the flow.
Got it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I got it.
What is it? You're asking the wrong guy.
Just, why do athletes do this?
I don't know.
Once they
because it's that thing. All the athletes want to be rappers and rockers, and all the rappers and rockers want to be athletes. Nope. It's just a thing.
Hello.
Hey.
They should have put that in the song.
That sounds good.
There's Marcus Smart with his
52 mil. Yeah. That's a new deal.
Multiple tweets saying rocking blue because he's a Crip.
Oh. No.
You got the Compton thing here and everything. Ooh. I am Compton.
52 mil, that's a new deal. 13 a year, look how I live. Penthouse suite, that's a new feel. Bought the top floor because I
wait a minute, Jim. Why are you going to wear red shoes if you're rocking the blue? Why don't you just go all blue?
Walking closet for my Gucci and Louis. Red bottoms, but I'm rocking that blue. Ice on my neck and it's keeping me cool.
It's gangster, huh?
I don't know. I think he's.
I don't know.
He's investing in real estate. He's investing in fine clothes, jewelry.
Hey, could be a Pats fan.
So now you know. Squish and go with the
ball. Let's a little more our speed. Hardy has our headlines. We come back. We're going to get to the J.D. Martinez snub. We know that he's not winning the American League MVP because he was not even a finalist, as announced yesterday. We'll get to that next.
Sports Hub headlines.
Celtics, by the way, lost last night. They were playing the Nuggets there in Denver, the final. 115-107, second straight loss for the Green. We'll try and turn things around on this road trip when they visit Phoenix on Thursday night. For the Bruins, they got a win at the TD Garden over the visiting Dallas Stars with just 29 seconds left in the overtime frame. Brad Marchand buried the power play goal to give them the 2-1 overtime victory. David Pastrnak scored the goal in the first period for the Bees. Next up for them, they'll stay home to play Vancouver on Thursday night. Joe Quenneville out as head coach of the Chicago Blackhawks. Been there for 10 years. Second winningest coach in NHL history. 3 Stanley Cups in Chicago, but the Blackhawks have dropped their last 5 games, and Joe Quenneville is out. Titans over the Cowboys in Monday Night Football, 28-14. Now they'll be home for the week, getting ready for the visiting Patriots on Sunday afternoon. Headlines are brought to you by Wendy's. With 8 different entree options, the Wendy's 4 for $4 comes in clutch. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub. From Gillette Stadium, it's Zolak and Bertrand, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
No J.D. Martinez, huh?
Well, you are a mind reader, John, and I. We talked about that in the meeting, right? Because I don't think the Red Sox would have won the World Series without J.D. Martinez. Organization change. Remember the last 2015, 2016, particularly last year, we got to have Big Poppy back. Where is he? We missed that guy, that D.H. How important was the D.H. role? A lot of people look at that role and they go, yeah, he's a D.H. The Red Sox won the World Series because the DH was no longer an issue for the Boston Red Sox. And he also, John Hart, made that lineup better.
J.D. Martinez will not win American League MVP. He's not even a finalist. The finalists were announced yesterday. Mookie Betts is a finalist. Mike Trout is a finalist, and Jose Ramirez is a finalist for American League MVP. Mookie Betts gets the nod and gets the vote. And with two guys on the same team in the running, I think that played a factor.
Yeah.
I was wrong on that.
Good.
I was wrong.
Boy.
I was very much wrong.
It's natural. Yeah.
But you didn't hear it in that clip, but those guys, to their credit on MLB Network, Dan Plesac did name the guy who should not be a finalist, because you can't just have this conversation and say, yeah, he should have been a finalist. So who should not have been a finalist? And you only have two choices.
God.
Because I don't think anyone's saying Betts shouldn't be.
I remember this argument first year I ever did radio, going all the way back to that year when it was either A-Rod for MVP as a Yankee or Ortiz. And then the argument against it was David Ortiz was a DH and he's not an everyday player and it should be A-Rod, an easy runaway. A-Rod ended up winning that year, right, Jim?
Yep, he did.
Yeah. And I would just take call after call on that.
Because that's how the voting has always gone. It's always been handed to the best player. I don't think that they ever weigh the transformation that J.D. Martinez helped in Boston with young players or, you know, preparation or looking at video. That's just not weighed. Who's the best guy? Who's the best player? And so I think, you know, my guy would be Betts. I've said that all year long. Never changed my opinion on that. I reserved the right to, but I didn't.
Yeah.
Betts was my guy all the way through, and I believe he's going to now win. Jose Ramirez, though, is the guy that should not be in there. You know what Jose Ramirez batted? Looking at his splits from this last year.
No, what did he bat? It should be Betts. Should be Betts, Trout,
in September.
And Martinez.
September, 174, 245 in August. Fell off the map the last 2 months of the season.
It was below the JBJ line.
And his home run numbers went down, too. He hit 7 total home runs between August and September combined. He fell off at the end. So, I don't know. I think that when you look at that and you say, well, he didn't do it for the entire year, you've got to count that against him. He had like 2 mediocre months at the end. He shouldn't be in the mix. He shouldn't be. It should be J.D. Betts and it should be Mike Trout. So, it's unfair. It's unfair. That's what I would
say. At least you got one guy in.
But here's what I think ultimately happens. They're going to get it right.
Yeah.
It's not about the final. It's about who wins.
Right.
And they're going to get it right. Betts is going to win, and they will have chosen the right guy.
Right.
That's what happens. So I don't think they're going to get it wrong. 617-779-0985. That's how I feel about that. I do hate, however, though, that it is now November 6th, and we're only getting the finalists. Don't you hate this about baseball? Why does it take so long? Why does it have to be now? Why couldn't this have gone on a month ago? Well, you can't announce this while you're also doing your playoffs. It's almost as if baseball years ago decided that they were going to try and dominate the calendar the way the NFL said that they were going to try and be a 12-month-a-year operation.
Yep.
Except baseball had just done it so far in the past that no one really paid attention. Oh, let's do the month of November, rolling out all the end-of-year award recipients. Oh, let's get in December to our meetings. What's that leave you with? January?
No, the NFL paid attention. That's why they're doing it the way they do it now.
They're following baseball's lead on this, which stinks. What does baseball have in January? I don't think baseball has much of anything in January.
No, that's why the Red Sox do their like winter weekend, don't they?
Oh, that's right.
Their winter weekend.
Yeah,
January is the down month.
Carrabas goes to Foxwoods. That's right.
And then February, you are back to spring training, and away you go.
And that's when Dan Roach gets all excited. Pitchers and catchers are how many days away now? He's getting ready for truck day and all that?
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
617-779-0985. Billy Jaffe is going to join us next segment. Mike is in the truck. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Listen, I just wanted to touch base on the Patriots. Two plays. I went to that game Sunday night. Two plays that stand out. Josh McDaniels is a head coach running their offense, and for him to design that flea flicker screen pass, the coaching staff had to have them on all the right cylinders in order to do that. I played offensive line, and for those four guys to be standing out there waiting for James White to say, yeah, go, I got it, and then run to the end zone, I'm, you know, with nobody to hit. Tooney was leading the way with nobody to hit. That was amazing.
You know what? And if Brady gets a block, they score. And you watch the end zone execution of the play to what you're talking about. I mean, it's perfect. James White just leaks out. Backside, he walks. They take Dwayne Allen and run him on a deep post. And two defenders run him with Dwayne Allen on a deep post. Like, when are you going to throw the ball? That's the stupidity of coaching here, too, from a defensive standpoint in Green Bay. The lone deep route is Dwayne Allen, and you got two guys covering him. Like, uh-oh, shouldn't bells go off right away? You know? What? What are you laughing?
What kind of bell?
What?
What kind of bell?
Ding-ling-ling-ling-ling-ling.
Oh,
here comes Dwayne Allen.
Same bell as the other day.
What bell? What the hell are you talking about?
Bell for you.
Oh, bell of hay.
And then when you say bell.
Bell of hay.
It sounds like you're saying something
Ring a bell.
Else. Yeah. Oh, no, that time it sounded normal.
There you go.
TJ is on the Cape. What's up, TJ?
Hey, guys, I got a question about the Celtics winning drought. Do we think it's a problem with our hurry-up offense and just hucking up threes and then getting beat down the court on defense? Or do we think Brad Stevens hasn't really found a way to manage all this abundance of talent yet?
And can I select secondly, D, all of the above?
Secondly, you guys got to be careful with what you put on for songs. I almost swerved off the road when you guys put on that Marcus Smart rap song. I'm from Cape Cod, and I could probably throw down some better bars than that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that it's their best work.
Yeah, I wouldn't be proud of it.
All those things are a factor. Managing the talent on the roster, managing the playing time, managing the shots, all of that is a factor. This thing with them jacking threes again last night, that stems from their win last week over the Bucks.
Yeah.
They all of a sudden think they're going to be Golden State. Listen, when you know you're shooting well, go for it. You've got to be versatile in this league, and you've got to be able to shoot threes in this league. But don't let it get away from you. I thought they let it get away from them last night. With some bad threes. And defensively, they've got to do a better job. Got to do a better job than what they did
last
night. Oh,
the defense, that's the one that's got to keep Coach up at night. We'll talk to him tomorrow, correct? Yeah, we'll talk to Brad Stevens tomorrow.
Billy Jaffe will join us coming up right after this.
All right.
So, at the Beatles. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com.
Pasternak protects in, banked up top for Krug. 35 seconds left. High slot. Krejci right of the net. Marchand shoots. He scores!
A 2-1 win for the Bruins last night in overtime, as you just heard Judd Surratt tell you on the call last night on 98.5 The Sports Hub. So welcome in from Nesson pregame and postgame coverage and NHL Network as well. It's Billy Jaffe joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Billy.
Hi, Beetle. What's up, Zoe? Hello, hey, Heidi. Pal. What's going on? What's up?
Why don't we talk about that first goal that Rask gave up last night? Did you like that one?
Oh, God.
That was
a buzzkill. That was there's no way around it. It was an uncomfortable moment. I can only imagine how uncomfortable it was for Tuca and the 17,500 at TD Garden and all the fans watching and even broadcasters. It was a tough one, but you know, they battled. I called it a battle last night, and they found a way. But that first goal was not comfortable at all.
Tuca said he's trying to get past it and work on the mental part of it.
Yeah.
And Billy been around it a long time. And I don't care what sport. When guys start talking about him working through something mentally, We talked about it with pitchers. I think it's more mechanical with them than between years. You know, the Gronkowski talk this week that lacking confidence. When that starts to seep in, what are we witnessing here, Bill? You see anything?
Well, you know what, Zoe, you can see it in a couple of things that he does. It manifests itself physically. There was a dump in, I think it was the second period last night at some point. There wasn't a real lot of pressure around him, and he held the puck. There's another time that the puck came to him, and he plays it inexplicably, third period, up the middle of the ice and almost led to a Dallas lead. What we're seeing here, guys, is you're seeing an athlete, and you talk about how this works too. It would be the same thing as a quarterback throwing the ball too soon. It would be the same thing as a basketball player either not shooting when he's wide open or shooting from anywhere because he's just getting rid of it. He doesn't want to handle the ball. Same thing with the goalie right now. At times, Tuukka just seems to be questioning his decision, questioning his position. And, it's really easy to sit here and say that athletes should never have confidence issues. I don't believe in that because they're human beings when it's all said and done. Between athletes, especially star athletes, big pro athletes on a pedestal, and we think that their life is perfect and they have never have an issue.
But didn't we see last night? I mean, I look at last night and I say that he there's a response there. He didn't give up another goal after that soft one.
Yeah. Yeah. He battled, but it wasn't always pretty beat. There were some questionable plays, but let's do the glass as full. To your point, he battled through just like the team picked up. You know what they tapped him in the backside and they said, figuratively, and they said, "We're going to get you. We're going to be all right." And they came out right after that bad goal early on, and they really dominated for a while. They outshot him 13-4 in the first. And I think that helped Tuukka an awful lot too. But this is going to take, at least it seems in my eyes, it's going to take a little time to get that confidence back to where it needs to be.
He makes a ton of money. He's not going anywhere. The stuff's guaranteed. You always have this, I think, presence about yourself. You can bring in whoever you want. Yeah, this guy's always going to be considered the backup on the starting goalie. I know that. Do you think this is the first time that he's starting to feel the heat a little bit with Halak and some of the comments and the way Cassidy, for example, these past couple days beat him in postgame and said, hey, he's playing better. Do you think he's feeling the heat a little bit?
I think he's feeling the heat. I think he, Tuukka's a bright guy. I think
I never thought he would feel it. You know what I mean? And I say that and I ask that to you because he's always a guy that doesn't seem like he would let up that he was feeling it.
Right, that's true. I think that that's a big part of that. But I think by some of his comments, we're seeing that he's feeling the pressure. Now, is he feeling the pressure? I think it is. Is he feeling the heat that Jaro Halak might take his job full time? I don't know if he's at that point. I think he's saying, wait a sec. Maybe he's not saying, if I get my head straight and if I get my confidence back, I can regain it. I think he's just saying right now, I need to find it. I don't know if he's really saying to himself, I'm not the number one anymore. I think this is the first time, though, fellas. This is the first time that I think way back, whether it's in the front of his head or the way back part of it, where he knows somebody else who could legitimately carry a heavier load, who dove in. I think there was always something there, Chad Johnson the same way, that you knew that they could have a short-term run. Let's call it a two-week run. I think there was a given that the one of those aforementioned guys were never going to be a full-time guy. Now this is the first time in many years that there's another guy that could be a bigger, much bigger role than these other guys that were before him.
Billy, the Bruins seem to get all their offense from their top line. Again, last night with the two goals. What's the solution to this? How do they get those other lines going?
Great question. I love the top line, but when it's not going to last. We saw it last year in the playoffs. And when I say it's not going to last, it just can't every single game, and you see some issues. Here's the good news. Before I give you it's not a solution, but the good news is that other lines performed last night and produced last night with regard to opportunities. Hudobin actually played very well again, which I didn't have a doubt that he would because he was so jacked up for the game. But other lines actually had some chances, legitimate chances, which was really nice to see. It ended up being two power play goals, Beetle. And that's where your top line you want them playing regardless. You can understand why they scored in those situations. I'm still a believer in mixing up David Pastrnak with David Krejci and putting him there and seeing if you can get more balance. You know, Bergeron, Marchand, I think if they put a whoever it is, whether it's a DeBrusque or Bjork up there or somebody else, I think they can help elevate that type of younger player. Yeah. And I think it could help twofold. You help get a younger guy going, and I also think that you help balance your team offensively. Krejci's been playing at times. I guess David Krejci's been playing pretty damn good at times. He has. He's handled the puck. He's done some, made some great plays. But and he had some points for a couple of games, and then the last few he has, but last night he did have an assist. But I just think that balance, you know, would give them the better opportunity to get more guys actually scoring.
All right, last one for you real quick, and I know you do some network stuff too, Billy, obviously. Yep. But we're getting close to that peak-in date, meaning Thanksgiving, where you sort of get that evaluation as to who's going to be in it or not. You seen any trends in the league that surprises you? So any teams jumping out there? Or,
yeah, I mean, yes, the New York Islanders are surprising me. Without John Tavares, they're still getting really good performance. Barry Trotz has done an awful lot there. I'm not surprised at all, though, in the Atlantic, Tampa, Toronto, Boston. Then you have Pitt and Washington, Met, but then you have the Islanders up top. I'm not convinced they can stay there, but maybe Barry Trotz is he is a great coach. He is. Maybe he can bring the magic there this year. I don't see Buffalo staying in the picture in the East right now. I would imagine a team like New Jersey or Columbus will jump up there. But that's what I'm seeing right now. The West is a bit of a conundrum. You guys just saw, I'm assuming, that Chicago had fired Joel Quenneville this morning.
Yep.
After 3 Stanley Cups there. So they've got some situational issues there right now. A little bit of a power struggle between Stan Bowman and Joel Quenneville, and Stan Bowman won that battle this time.
And L.A. fired their coach this week, too. So there's some movement.
2 days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's going to be more. There's going to be more. I think 2 or 3 more guys are going to get it in the next month.
All right, Billy, appreciate the time as always. Good talking to you.
Gentlemen, you're the best. Take care. See you guys.
All right. All right, Billy Jaffe, you can catch him on Nesson both pre- and post-game and on NHL Network as well. We'll get back to Hardy. He's in the Town Fair Tire Studios at the Sports Hub. Get your headlines. There are no commercials here.